Okay, good morning, it's good to be back. I just want to mention, you know, the ceasefire was last night, which I don't know how happy we are about the arrangement, but I just want to mention something that experienced that we had at the airport when we were waiting to take off in Newark. So there was a family that was coming for a wedding of a granddaughter, or grandson, which was last night. And they're Ger Hasidim. And the Ger Hasidim make their weddings in Ashdod. Right. They have a... So Sunday night, people went to the Rebbe, they had a wedding Sunday, said move to Yerushalayim. People had a wedding Monday, Tuesday, moved to Yerushalayim. Their children went to the Rebbe and said, what should we do? The wedding is Wednesday night. He said, you'll be okay. This was on Sunday, he told them. You'll be all right. So I'm not a Ger Chosid, but this could make you a Ger Chosid, right? Okay, so Parshas Vayetze. There are four pieces here. The first is from the Beis Halevi. He says something very interesting because the pasuk says Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva Vayelech Charona, that he went out of Be'er Sheva and he went to Charon. And Rashi writes, for Kasav Rashi, Delo hayetzarach lichtov rak Vayelech Charona. All the Torah would have to tell us is he went, Yaakov picked himself up and went to Charon. So why did he say, tell us where he came from and where he was going? Right? What's that all about? Lamedcha Shahaya, so Rashi says, Shahaya, this is a famous Rashi, Shahaya Yitziato Nikar, that his going out was well known. The Yitziat Tzadik, Oser Roshan, when a Tzadik leaves, it makes its mark, it leaves a mark. You know, he goes on to say, you know, upon a Ziva, upon a Hadra, all the covet and the honor of the city is gone. When a Tzadik leaves the town, so the town is, you know, if you ever, you know, 20 some years ago, I was in Poland and I went to Warsaw. Now there's been a little bit of a revival of Jewish life there. But you go through the streets and you feel the emptiness, and you go through these small towns, the villages where Jews were more than half the population. And it's like barren. And you feel it, like the Jews left and these towns are like ghost towns almost. They were like, that's how you had that sense. In any event, he wants to say something else, which is very, very interesting. Od yesh lomar, I want to suggest that bechol adam hayotzei mimakom lemakom, anyone who travels from place to place, yesh b'zeh ofanim, od ikar tachlito hi hayitziyah mimakom arishon, either his reason for leaving is to leave the place where he's exiting from, mishum eizeh sibah, for whatever reason, val kein muchrach, who lelech lemakom acher. Therefore, he has to go to another place. Right? That's one way to leave a town. Aval ikar kavanato uritzono hi hayitziyah. But his main thing is to get out of town. Sometimes you just have to get out of town. Or there's another reason a person travels. Mishum ditzarich liyot b'makom hasheni, that he has to get to the second place. So either you're traveling from point A to point B because you want to get out of point A, or because you want to go to point B. V'zehu ikar tachlit kavanato ba'alicha. This is, he wants to get to place B. Ubi Yaakov nidlakedu shtei ha'kavanot. By Yaakov, there were both of these kavanas, both of these intents were applicable to his trip from Be'er Sheva to Charon. Di ikar kavanato ba'alichato l'kayei mitzvah kibud av ve'em. He was fulfilling the mitzvah of kibud av and kibud ev. Listen well. The Rivka amra lo hine. Pashu achicha mitnachem lecha lo hargecha. You know, your brother wants to kill you. Esav achicha mitnachem lecha. He wants to kill you. Kum barach lecha el lavan. Go get out of town. Right? That's the Vayetze Yaakov. The Kar Kavanata, her main intention, Hayah Shalom Yiyah But Be'er Sheva, Mokom She Esav Sham, that she, he shouldn't be in the same place with his brother Esav, who wants to kill him. Vayikar B'zeh Yitzia. So that's what, that's Vayetze Yaakov. Uli Yitzchak, Lo Amra Kol Zot. She didn't say all this to Yitzchak. Rak Shelo Yikach Isha Mibnot Kenan. Just Uli Yitzchak, Lo Amra Kol Zot. She didn't say this to her husband, right? She just, he just said like, don't take a wife from Benot Kanan. V'tziva lo kum lech Padan Aram. Go to Padan Aram. V'kach lecha isha mibnot Lavan. And take a wife from the daughters of Lavan. So Yitzchak was telling him, v'yelech Haram, to go to Haram. V'tachli tzivuyav, the purpose of the command of Yitzchak, his father, haya ha'licha l'charon, was going to Haram. V'yakov kayem divrei shneihem. And Yaakov fulfilled both honoring his mother and leaving Be'er Sheva and honoring his father, going to Haran. Hayitziya v'gam ha'alicha l'Haran. V'shneyem haya etzlo li'ikar v'tachlit. And both of these were his tachlis. V'zehu sha'amar ha'katuv v'parsha shalamala v'yishma Yaakov el aviv v'imo v'yelech padana aram. That's why the pasuk says that Yaakov listened to his father and his mother and went to Padan Aram. Sheni kaven l'kayim divrei shneihem. And in fact, he writes, the Brisker Rav writes, Umatzati ba'oel Yaakov shekosav kain. And I found in the Dubna Magid, in the Magid of Dubna also with a moshel, which I didn't bring here, the Dubna Magid says the same idea. But that's why the pasuk says, Vayetze Yaakov, mi'per sheva, he went out, Vayelech Haran, and he went to Haran, which seems to be redundant, right? Because he was honoring both mother, who said to get out of town, Vayetze, and honoring father, who said, Vayelech, go to Lava. Beautiful idea. Okay, 2 and 3, these are from the Or Gedaliahu, Rav Gedaliah Shor, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of Torah Vadas Yeshiva in New York. And he quotes here on the number 2, he quotes the Balaturim. The Balaturim mevi, the Parshat Vayetze, lo nimtza lo stuma v'lo ptucha. You find something very interesting. You know, in the Torah, you have a big, you look in the Chumashim, you have a big pei or a big samech. Those are called ptuchot and stumot. There are pauses, chapters. The chapters that we have in our Chumashim, chapter 36 or whatever, those are not made by Chazal. Those are made by the printers, and there are many places they're wrong. They were done by Christian, Bible scholars. The Christians were the ones who made these chapters, and they're wrong. So a lot of times you'll see that the chapter division doesn't make as much sense as the psucha or the stuma. The question is, why do we keep these chapters and verses, right? Because all of our scholarship, all this form that have been written on Chumash since the printing of the Chumashim, are based on and refer to chapters in our Tanakh. If we would change it now, we'd put scholars and make a whole upheaval. You wouldn't be able to find anything. Say, look in the psucha, the second psucha, or in the second aliyah. You know, that, so it would just put scholarship in confusion. So therefore, we keep the chapters the way they are written. But in any case, you see, forget about chapters, but you have no psuchas and stumas here in Vayetze. It's completely closed. Why is that? So he writes, Masha'in davar kezeh b'shar ha'star. You don't see this anywhere else. The davar zeh romeiz, this hints to the fact, sheparsha zuhi parsha shel galus. The parsha of Vayetze, he's going into galut. He's going into galus. He's going into the diaspora. Sheha'parsha k'tuva kemoshehi. It's written the way it is. U'kemoshe b'galus, just like in galut, hakol satum. Everything is closed. Ve'eno nireh l'chutz hatachlit elokit. You don't see the divine purpose. It's everything is not clear. It's not clear in Galus. We don't know what's going to happen the next day, right? We're living with that. Even here in Eretz Yisrael, we're living with that uncertainty, right? Kein nichtav haparsha ba'ofen satum. So therefore, the parsha is written sealed, closed. The mystery of Galus. We don't know what's happening. Sha'ara begalut histuma. The enlightenment in Galus is closed. Is sealed. It's sealed. But we don't see it. Aval yesh gam bazeh remez acher, but there's another hint here. She'inyin ha'parsha, kotev Rashi. Rashi writes at the beginning of Vayikra. He writes, why do we have stumas and Suchas. Why do we have these pauses? So he writes, Litein revach lihiponein bein parsha leparsha. When Moshe was given the Torah, so he was given pause in order to take in each chapter, each section. That's why you have the Psuchas and Stumas, so that Kodesh Baruch Hu gives the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, but he pauses in order to give Moshe Rabbeinu a chance to appreciate what he's getting. So I just want to say, you know, they say Chachma b'goyim tamin. Gemara Megillah says Chachma b'goyim tamin. There's wisdom. There's wisdom by non-Jews. The great cellist Pablo Casals, a famous cellist. He was also a very famous poet. He wrote the poem Desiderata. Familiar with it? And he was asked, does he attribute his great success as a world-class cellist to the way you play certain music, certain notes? He said, no, he says, the key to being a good musician is in the pauses, is knowing how to pause, timing, knowing how to pause. So that's what he says, right? But that's what Rashi's telling us here, right? So I say Chachma Goy Tamin, that the ikar of these pauses was to give Moshe time to meet Bonim, to meditate, to understand the Torah that he was receiving. Ube'esh yatsa Yaakov legalut, when Yaakov went into Galus, lo yisiach dato me'esh yatsa me'eretz Yisrael ad shechazar. He didn't have a moment to stop from the time that he left until the time he came back. Ki Yaakov Avinu Be'et Sheyatzal Galut, when Yaakov went out to Golus, Nitkasher B'Kol Kochotav Laharot HaKadusha Sheyatzal Misha. U'Bedivre HaZohar HaKadosh, the Zohar says, Shemi Sheyorei Labor Amuk. However, he said, the Zohar gives a mashal. When someone goes down into a deep pit, a coal mine or something, Kosher Atzmo Neima B'Neima Chevel B'Chevel. So he ties himself, he ties a rope, he attaches himself to a rope. He goes into this deep, dark bore, but he's attached. Somehow he's got this rope, and he's attached to the daylight. He's attached to the top. She had kashur l'mayla, so he always has his attachment to the top. It says, Kein Yaakov Avinu. So too Yaakov, nit kasher bekesher chazak. He was attached with a rope, so to speak. Strong attachment. V'lo yisiach dat klau lahafsik. Not like, I don't think I explained it right. He did not stop from his attachment to the Rebbeinu Shlomo the entire time he was in Golos. V'lo natan klal revach litbonen. So he didn't stop to meditate. He just kept his mind on the Rebbeinu Shlomo, and he didn't lose sight of that. Ki begalut ein makom lahafsik. You can't stop in Golos. El hayah mekusher b'chol hazman. He was attached to the Rebbeinu Shlomo the entire time. V'hayoshev alim. Yaakov is described as being a dweller of tents, meaning the tents of Torah. B'chol makom sh'ayin nimsa, wherever he was, af begalut, even in Galus, hayoshev alim, he would study Torah. So this is just a beautiful idea about why there are no psukos and stumos, why there are no pauses in Vayetze. It's the parsha of Galus that we just have to, you have to just get through that tunnel, get through that tunnel of Galus. And it's difficult to think clearly. We don't see the clarity in Galus, but we have to have our emunah and bitachon that we're going to get out of it. You know, the Chafetz Chaim once said, somebody came to him and he was very depressed. You know, he said, there's so much darkness in his life, he doesn't see that there's going to be any light. So the Chafetz Chaim told him that the Gemara says that when Adam and Chava were brought into this world, so when the sun set, the first night, they said, oh no, the world is coming to an end. This must be a punishment for us. We're finished. And then in the morning, the light came, the sun rose, and they said, no, kach hu min hago shel olam, this must be the way of the world. So the Chafetz Chaim said, the first night that there's darkness, when you have darkness, you have a right to be scared. But after that first night, there's daylight, so you know that the sun is going to shine. So we have to learn from Adam and Chava. Even though it's dark for us right now, we know the Rebbeinu Shlomo throughout our history. It's dark, but the sun shines. Afterwards, the sun will come up again. And we have to have that emunah and bitachon that it's going to be good. It's going to be better. I actually just saw this last night between Mincha and Maariv. Somebody gave me a sefer. There was a Rav in New York by the name of Rav Shmuel David Volkin. who was a Talmud of the Chafetz Chaim. He learned 13 years by the Chafetz Chaim. And his son is Rav Chaim Volkin, who is the Mashkiach in the Yeshiva Ateret in Bayit Vegan. And his father had given him a notebook of things that the Chafetz Chaim told him. He kept a notebook of things from the Chafetz Chaim which had never been published. And he just published it. And he got it to me before we left, and I haven't really looked at it. I looked at it a little bit, but I figured now between Mincha Maariv, I'm going to go through this sefer the next few weeks. So I saw this yesterday in the sefer, a very meaningful idea from the Chafetz Chaim. Okay, the next piece, number three, is also from Rav Gedalia Shor. Vayikatz Yaakov Mishnato. Yaakov awoke from his sleep. And he says, "Va'anochi lo yadati." He says, "You know, I was in a holy place," right? The Torah says, and I didn't even realize I was in such a holy place. So, and that's when he had his famous dream with the ladder and the malachim going up and climbing down, right? Beginning of the parsha. "Va'anochi lo yadati." So Chazal say, the rabbi saying, Rashi quotes this: "Ilu yadati lo yashati." If I would have known that this was a makom kadosh, I wouldn't have slept. Sha'af Yaakov Avinu hisig hasagot gedolot b'shenato. So what does it mean? What do you think it means? If I would have known it was a holy place, I wouldn't have gone to sleep. What does that mean? That mean like, well, how can you sleep in such a holy place? You can't sleep in a holy place. Like, you're not allowed to sleep in a shul. Although, miraculously, once the rabbi starts speaking, everybody goes to sleep, right? You know? I remember I have a friend, Marvin Heyer, who's the head of the Wiesenthal Center. So he was a rabbi in Vancouver many years ago. And there was a major flood and storm and hurricane in Vancouver many years ago, much the same as Hurricane Sandy. And they needed places for people to sleep, so they were calling up all the churches and the synagogues to get, you know, places. So they called him up and they asked him, "How many people can we sleep in your synagogue?" He says, "On Saturday morning, we sleep 350 people. So you can bring at least 350 people, right?" So what does it mean that Yaakov said, you know, if I would have known it was a holy place, I never would have slept. So he says something beautifully. He says, "She'af Yaakov Avinu, af she'Yaakov Avinu, he see hasagot gedolot b'shenato." Even though when he was sleeping, this came to him as a vision in the night, this dream of the angels from sleeping. He saw in his dream this ladder going up to heaven. And God was on the top of the ladder. That notwithstanding, Amar Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov said, "Ilu yadati lo yashanti." If I would have known this was a holy place, I would never slept. Why? She'im midata emet tova'at shebemakom hazeh. If such truth is in this place, even though I received such phenomenal divine vision in my sleep, I would have rather, since this was such a holy place, it would have been preferred that I would have worked on my own seichel, my own capabilities, something without having it spoon-fed to me in a dream. In other words, since it's such a holy place, if I would have known, I wouldn't have slept. Why? Rather than receive on a silver spoon this vision from God, I would have rather taken the Kedusha, the sanctity and the holiness of the place, and made something of it myself. Right? That's what he means to say. So now, based on that, he brings a beautiful Chassidish Maisa. V'yeshna Hatim ze im sipur meharav hakodesh Rebbe Hakodesh Reb Shmelka mi Nicholsburg. Let me tell you a story. They say from the Rebbe mi Nicholsburg. Zatzal. Asher yadua shemeolam lo yishan harbe. It's known that there was a tzaddik. The Rebbe Reb Shmelka never very rarely slept. Would catnap all of his life. Right? Ukimosha amra imo. She had two sons, and she would say al shnei baneha. She would say tongue-in-cheek, "Sheyesh la shnei banim, I have two sons. She'echad einu notel et hayadayim baboker," referring to the Rebbe Shmelka, he never washed negel vasser in the morning, right? She was being critical, right? Meaning, because he didn't have to. He wasn't sleeping, right? He writes here, right? You know, Benusach Acher She'enu Mevarach Hamapil. He never says Hamapil at night when he goes there. Ve'echad, my other son, Nebuch, Enu Mevarach Birchat Hamazon. He never benches because he doesn't eat bread, right? So, Upam Achad, listen to this. This is just a gorgeous story about, and it brings home this idea that Rav Shor says on Rashi. Upam Achad, one time, he sheet alav HaRebbe HaKodesh Rabbi Elimelech. The Rebbe Rabbi Elimelech convinced him, Shiyelech Lishon. His Rebbe, the Rebbe Rabbi Melech, said, go to sleep. He forced him to go to sleep. Ulamachar, he had a night's sleep. Ulamacharat haya shaliach tzibu. In the morning, he was the chazan in shul. Vihit palel bihit la'avut. And he davened with such hit la'avut, with such hislavus, with such passion, the entire shul, Shehi Paulu Ito Davin with him, Bishah Shehi Gila Az Yashir. When they got to Shirat Hayam, we were crossing the sea in the morning, he Gibiru Bigdehem, Zehaben, and he says in Yiddish, Oivgohaben, Hoiben the Fallas. When they were singing Az Yashir, they picked up their trousers. They felt that they were actually, they had such kavono singing the Shirat Hayam, when Az Yashir is going through the sea, that they felt like they were in the water, right? She heard Gishu ki ilu avrim b'mayim. They thought they were going to. V'aval piken, he said, after davening, when he saw this, he said, I don't care. Amar, a Rebbe of Shmelka said, ki od hapam, I won't do this again. Eino kazot leilech lishon. I won't go to sleep. Sha'af she hisig hasagot ke'ilu. Even though I had such enormous, tremendous kavanas and passionate Kavana, if I wouldn't, so imagine what I could have accomplished without sleeping on my own, right? So these are, you know, what we call the Hoyben dimension, holy people. Okay, the last piece is from Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky in the Emes Yaakov, and again, Vayishkav b'makom ahu, and it says in the Torah that he slept in this place when he went to sleep and had this dream. So on this statement that he slept in this place, Rashi comments, it's quick to comment, why does he have to say this place he slept? Lashon miut. It's telling us that, you know, ba'oto makom shachav, here he slept. Aval yud dalet shanim sheshimesh beveit eiver lo shachav balayla, shaya osek baton. But the 14 years that he studied in the yeshiva of Shem ve'ever, he did not sleep at night. So here he slept. But for the 14 years that he slept in the Yeshiva Shem Ve'ever, that he learned in the Yeshiva Shem Ve'ever, he didn't go to sleep. So now, he wants to talk about those 14 years. Why did he have to go 14 years to study in Yeshiva Shem Ve'ever? Hine, lefi cheshbon zeh, according to this calculation, Yotzeh, comes out, she Yaakov, lo haya beveit aviv, shloshim b'sheish shana. It was 36 years that he was not in his father's house. So that's why 22 years, Yosef, you know, well, we'll get to that when we get to that parsha, we'll talk about it. But Arba Asrei Shana Shehaya Eitzel Shem Ve'ever, 14 years that he was by Shem Ve'ever, Ve'od Esrim V'Shnayim Shanim, and another 22 years, Shehaya Ve'Beit Lavan, that he was in Beit Lavan, right? So he was 36 years that he wasn't in his father's house. And that's why he was sort of punished, you know, that Yosef was not in touch with him for 22 years. Why not 36 years? Because he took off the 14 years from Shem Ve'ever, there's no punishment for that, right? Which is a very difficult thing, you know, he couldn't actually send a telegram or something, you know, how would he get? But maybe we'll discuss that Ramban when we get to the Parsha. So 14 years he was by Shem Ve'ever studying Torah, right? Chazal Mosrim Lanu, Chazal tell us, Shebe'emet, he says it here, Ne'enashi Yaakov al zeh. Yaakov was punished for this. Shehit Rashel the Kibud Aveim, that, you know, he was a little lax in his Kibud Aveim, not being in touch with his father and his mother all these years. Lechem Yosef Ne'edar mi Beito Esrim Esrim, it's a trip printer's error, Esrim Vishnayim Shana. That's why Yosef was away 22 years, right? So he says, he actually says this here, Arba Asrei Shana, the 14 years Shehaya Beveit Shem Ve'ever, that he was studying Torah by Shem Ve'ever, lo ne'enash Yaakov. Yaakov was not punished for that. only for the other 22 years, okay? Ubehechrech, it's perforce, shanim elu, these years, beveit talmudo, shal shem ve'ever, the yeshiva shem ve'ever, hayu kol kach nechutzim, they were so important. Lihit pat chuto, haruchanito, for his spiritual development, shal Yaakov, they must have been so important. His postgraduate study in Shem Weber was so important that it knocked off the punishment for not being honoring his parents. But now he's going to ask a very simple question. How long do you have to be in yeshiva? I don't understand this. Dari Yaakov, bizman sheyatzami ber sheva, when he left ber sheva, hayah ben shishim b'shalosh, he was 63 years old. Hulamad Torah im Avram Zikno. He learned Torah with his grandfather Avram. Ad Gil Chamesh, until he was 15. Right? Ubishar Hashanim, the rest of the years, from 15 until 63, Hulamad b'yeshivato shel Yitzchak. He learned in Yitzchak's yeshiva. He's 63 years old. Right? Madu im Kein hayakol kach nachutz liyakov akshav. Why was it so important now? B'makom lahakshiv l'tzivuyav shel horav. Rather than, you know, listen to his parents, Leshev Beveit Lavon, Yamim Achadim, Leshevet V'Lomod, Od Arbas Reshana B'Yeshiva Zu. Another 14 years in Yeshiva. How many years do you have to learn? What was this all about? What was he going to get by Shem Ve'Ever that he didn't get by Avram and Yitzchak? That's really the question. Remember, he's developing Klal Yisrael here. V'Aval Pikein, he says, V'Aval Pishe B'Vadai, Gadal b'tor b'zmanu, he was a giant in Torah at this time, Yaakov Avinu, 63 years old. Mikol makom, that being said, eich ze potro mi mitzvat kibun aven, how does that exempt him from honoring his parents? Me'achiv l'tapel b'orav hazakenim, to take care of his parents in their old age, let him go home. Halamad avardom, what can this be compared to? La'av ha-mitzaveh livno, Liknot mashu bishvilo. A father sends his son to the store to pick up a newspaper for him, or pick up a coffee. Now, this is a little bit lopsided here. Go to the middle paragraph on the left-hand column. Okay? So he's giving a mashal here of a father who sends his child out to get him a newspaper. B'derech l'chanus, his father commands him to do something. B'derech l'chanus, on the way to the store, machlit haben, the son decides, you know what? I'm not going to go to get the newspaper. Shurotze l'lmot Torah. I'm going to yeshiva. I'm going to go to the yeshiva. Bevet ha-medrash l'lmot Torah. I'm going to go to the yeshiva to learn Torah. Ha'im achshav hazman l'lmot. Is this the time to learn Torah? Ha-Talmud Torah nidche mipnei kol mitzvah. Talmud Torah is set aside for any mitzvah she'ief shar la'asot ta'al yidei acher, which can't be done by somebody else. If somebody else can't do the mitzvah, you have to close the Gemara and do the mitzvah. Your father asked you, there was no one else around. He asked you to get a newspaper for him at the store. You don't go learn now, you have to do the mitzvah kibud avein. What's going on? That's what this seems to be, right? B'chdei l'havin et ha'nechitzut, in order to understand the nechitzut, the pressing nature and importance of this, v'had dechifut shel Yaakov lalechet achshav liyeshivato shel Shem Ve'Ever, why he had to write now go to Shem Ve'Ever, anu tzrichim mikodem, we first have to understand lavin et haTorah hamiyuchedet shenilmada b'beit midrasham shel Shem Ve'Ever. The curriculum in Shem Ve'Ever's yeshiva was very different. Shehayta shone behechleit. Mitoratam shel Avram v'Yitzchak. It was very different than the Torah of Avram v'Yitzchak. Ha'avot, Avram v'Yitzchak, ha'yoshim v'yeshiva. They had a regular yeshiva. U'marbitzim Torah l'kol ha'po'aleim. And they gave out Torah, they studied Torah, and spread Torah to anyone who came lihistach feif b'nachlatam, who came to them. B'veit midrasham shel Avot, in the yeshiva of the Avot, Lamdo Torah v'madrega gedola on a high level, bioter shalemuna v'avodat Hashem. Tremendous faith and service to God. Mechusanim legamrei mehasviva b'chutz. They were completely isolated from society at large. V'lo mufshaim yimeno klal. And they were not influenced by society at all. Now go to the last paragraph on the right. Lo kein haya eitzel Shem v'Ever. This is not the curriculum of Shem v'Ever. Bino shel Noach, the son of Noach, sheniflat b'dor ha-mabul, nitzal, lo rak mimei ha-mabul, was saved not only from the flood waters, elegam misvivatam shel anshei dor ha-mabul u'behashchatam. They were saved from the terrible generation of the flood. Avar no, Aver nolad, Aver was born, v'chai bimei dor ha-flog. He was born and raised in the generation of the Tower of Babel, that terrible generation. Elu shiratzu livnot migdal, those people who wanted to build a tower, v'rosho bashamayim, now go to the top of the second column, or the top now of the second column. K'dei limrod b'kodesh baruch hu, they were rebelling against HaKodesh Baruch Hu. That's where Aver was born and lived. Aval hu lo neschaf imayim, but he was not captured with them. He escaped that philosophy. V'nishar b'tzidkato, and he remained a pious person. Rak shem ve'aver, only shame. So first of all, shame. We said shame. Beno shel Noach, who was saved from the dor ha-mabul. Shame was saved from the dor, the terrible dor of violence and theft and avodah zarah and idol worship. And Aver, who was saved from the terrible generation of rebellion against godliness and divinity, that of the Tower of Babel, the Dor HaFloga, only these two people, Rak Shem ve'Aver, Sridim Midorot u'Mesivot Mushchatim, they were survivors of terrible generations, of terrible philosophies, of an anti-ethical world. V'lo Avram and Yitzchak, not Avram and Yitzchak, Hayichol, only they, Hayu Yicholim L'Lameil Yaakov, could teach Yaakov a certain kind of Torah. Torah HaNitzrechalo, Torah that was required, Kadesh Yuchal L'Hishaer B'tumato B'Svivato Shalav. The Torah that allows you to know how to survive in the environment of Lavan, in the open world, in the world that lives without ethics and morality, the world of Lavan. Shem Ve'Aver's yeshiva was a yeshiva that prepared Yaakov to live in the outside world, unprotected from the pristine walls of the yeshiva of Torah. Ish mushchat v'rasha, this evil Lavan, v'lo rak Lavan atzma, not only Lavan, ela kol anshei makom ha'urimayim, the whole world of Lavan, the whole society was corrupt. Shari matzinu shelavan asaf et kol anshei makom, v'asa mishnah, we saw that Lavan brought everybody together and made a party. V'afal pikei. That being said, lo nimsa echad shigalelo shelavan mitkaven l'ramoto. There was not one person in that society, in that milieu, that told Yaakov, watch out, because they were all evil people. Just skip down about four lines. V'hari kulam sahaku al mirmazu. They were all privy to this terrible society. U'lechein, therefore, hayyakov tzarich liklot b'tocho. Yaakov had to inculcate into his very being, his persona, sugyot shonot. This is a different mesechta. This is a different gemara. This is a different curriculum. Eich lashevet b'sviva shel reshaim v'ramayim. How to live amongst evil people. Va'af al pikein lahachzik b'tom v'yosher. And still holding on to your purity and your uprightness. That's why he needed Shem Ve'Aver. That was the necessity for another 14 years in the yeshiva Shem Ve'Aver. Okay, so we're here for next week.